We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the NBA Front Office Show. Trevor Lane. You can find me on Twitter at Trevor_Lane. Some of you are joining us live right now over on our YouTube channel or on my Twitter account. That's where I put it out there. Keith, kind of our workaround temporarily right now. Typically, we don't do this show live streaming, but yesterday, if those of you noticed, you went, man, Trevor and Keith are reacting to the news really slowly. YouTube has been doing this thing where it's putting our videos into their check system, and it's taking like hours for it to get through. Yep. For some reason. I'm not sure why. But so my workaround is just, okay, fine. If it's going to take that long, because I don't think we're going to shorten our shows to like 3 minutes or something so it'll get through checks quicker. It's just, all right, fine. We're just going to broadcast it live then and go that route for the time being. So, Keith, that just puts a little more pressure on us because it means we can't edit out any mistakes.
Yeah, but you know what? We don't do a lot of editing anyway, so I think that's probably okay.
That's true. So welcome in. Anybody who is joining us live, coming in from YouTube or from Twitter, I guess let's kick things off with this.
If we have to.
Russell Westbrook officially picks up his option. Not a surprise at all. $47 million. I know.
Stunned.
So surprised. You know what, Kate? This is the kind of thing, though, that normal people do.
Yep.
And normal people might move the world forward. But something else, Kyrie-esque, I don't know, needs to go in there. What are you thinking about this? He picks up his option. No surprise there. Doesn't look like there's a lot of trade suitors out there. So Lakers' best bet might just be to run out the clock on Russ.
Yeah, I think as we've kind of said, this is not, at all unexpected here. Mm-hmm. That this was how we all thought it would go. So I think the idea here is bring him in and let's see what we can make work, right? New coach, new coaching staff. It'll be a lot of a new roster outside of LeBron, AD, and a few other guys likely. So let's just see. Can we maybe make it work a little bit better? And then we'll see how it goes. And if it doesn't, you always have the option of sitting him down, waiting it out, see how it goes from there. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to see massive changes by any means, but I think it'll just be kind of wait it out and see and hope maybe it's a little bit better. And if it isn't, then you sit him and maybe eventually he gets tired of not playing and he wants to do a buyout or something like that.
Yeah, and that's worst case. Obviously, Darvin Ham will try to do what he can to try to make things work and see if they can click, see if he can get something to work where Frank Vogel couldn't. I mean, obviously LeBron and AD staying healthy, that would go a long way towards helping achieve that goal. But again, worst case, 1 year expiring contract. Like, let me ask you this, Keith. Would you rather have Russ expiring or Gordon Hayward, Kelly Oubre, and like Mason Plumlee or something? What would you rather do if you were the Lakers?
I think probably the Hornets guys, only because if you've got LeBron and AD, you're trying to win right now. So I think
that's the challenge
that pushes you further with that. If you could tell me Gordon Hayward was going to play even 60 games, then I'd feel pretty good about it. But if he's not, then you're talking $30 million in rough money this year, $30 more in rough money next year. That gets a little hard to work around, but yeah, it's tough. I think, you know, in a vacuum, yeah, give me the Hornets guys and let's go forward. But I get it. I get why maybe it's more appetizing to just, you know, wait it out and see if you can make it work a little bit better with Russ.
Now, would future draft capital cause you to blink on that?
Future draft capital going to the Hornets?
Correct.
Yeah, I don't want to give up those picks if I can avoid it. So I think I'd still just hang on and just see where this goes.
I mean, the LeBron factor. That's the challenge here, right? If there's no LeBron, it's an easy decision. You just run out the clock, you take the cap space, and you move forward. But it's the LeBron factor that makes it a little bit difficult. In any event, though, sounds like he will be a Laker next year. Now, again, free agency starts a couple of days. Anything can happen, right? But for the time being, it appears he will be on the roster to start next season.
Yep. That would be my assumption here. Yeah, we're almost two full 48 hours away, right? 6 p.m. So we're less than 49 hours out from things legally starting. We're already starting to get a good chunk of deals that are starting to float out. Too many details locked in, maybe, that make me think tampering's alive and well in the NBA. But we'll see.
Okay, so since you just said that, let me jump to this topic then. Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
Mark Stein reporting that the Mavs are starting to be resigned, that like they're probably going to lose Jalen Brunson here to the Knicks. The Knicks can't talk to Jalen Brunson. So, I mean, John Wall to the Clippers, like that's tampering too, and we're going to get to that in a minute. Do you see, I mean, the Bulls and the Heat just got punished for this stuff. So what's the NBA?
A couple years ago, right?
Correct. So what's going to happen here? And I guess, and also, what do you think about Jalen Brunson to the Knicks?
Yeah, staying on the tampering topic for a second. That's a tongue twister.
No, we can't edit that out, though, because we're live.
I know, right? No, see, that's it, because we're live. Like, we wouldn't have left that in anyway. I like to believe what's happening is Jalen Brunson pops over to his dad's house. His dad leaves a blank contract sitting on the kitchen table. And he's like, oh, what's this? And he flips through and sees, oh, wow, an unsigned contract with my name on it for $100 million. And we all know that's not how these things go. I think the whole idea of tampering, I'll say, again, kind of on the record here, it's just dumb. Once guys are free agents, once their season is over, let them talk to whoever they want. Agreed. Like, we avoid 90% of this. I don't like like KD under contract for 4 years. Like, unless the Nets said, hey, yeah, you have permission to talk to whoever and figure it out if you want to go there, that's a whole different story, right? But if it was, no, you can't be talking to people and recruiting KD to come to you, it's still going to happen anyway, but that one feels a little more gross, right? Because he's under contract for 4 years. But if it's a guy where it's, you're sitting here and it's like Jalen Brunson's a free agent in 2 days, I don't care. But just be consistent. Either allow it or punish them. Punish them and take away picks or whatever. I do think the NBA is going to hit a tipping point with this where it's going to be, if we don't start punishing it more harshly, we need to start allowing it. It's got to go one way or the other. You can't just say, all right, we're going to take away a random second round pick from you at some point in the future, because it's not enough of these teams don't care about that. Like Miami, for example, they don't care about losing a second round pick. They got Kyle Lowry. That means nothing to them. So yeah, I think you just got to be consistent with the way you enforce it. Brunson to the Knicks. I like it enough. I don't love it. I'm on the record saying I think he's going to get twice as much as Tyus Jones, and I don't think he's twice the player Tyus Jones is. So, but he's proven he can carry the offense when he needs to. He did that in the playoffs this year against Utah in a couple games without Luka. My guess is he really wants those on-ball reps to prove, like, hey, I really can be a playmaker, scorer, combination guy, not just the scoring guy who plays off Luka Doncic. So I get that. So I don't hate it. It's just an awful lot of money to lock into, but the Knicks don't have a lot of long-term money on their books. So they should be fine to work around it if it even comes to that.
Yeah, I mean, if he's their guy again, I've spoken my concerns about, you know, he's a tough shot maker. Sometimes those kind of guys can lose value very quickly, but I like Brunson a lot. So who knows? Maybe it works out perfectly for them, and he winds up being great value. Before we move on,
you want to play the breaking news drop?
Oh, if we have some, yeah, absolutely. Here we go.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Let's go.
Ready?
I'm ready.
The Los Angeles Clippers center Ivica Zubac has agreed on a 3-year, $33 million extension. His agents, Jeff Schwartz and Mike Lindemann of XL Basketball, tell ESPN the Clippers declined his $7.5 million team option, clearing the way for Zubac's new deal.
Hey, so 3 years, 33. Do we have anything in there on any kind of team or player option in there?
Nope, nothing in there yet from that. I'm sure we'll get that here in the next series of tweets, or someone else will follow up with it or something like that. But I mean, that's perfectly fair. That's basically the mid-level money, the non-taxpayer mid-level money. So, yeah, I think that's perfectly fair for Zubac and what he gives the Clippers. It's about a $3 million raise or so this year, likely, in first-year salary, and that's, you know, good for him to lock that in. So, yeah, he was very good. They're going to lose Isaiah Hartenstein, most likely. So locking in Zubac is a good move.
And we're going to get to why in just a minute when we talk about John Wall. So Zubac's ascension, happy for Zoo. A good guy. And, you know, this is a good deal for him. And I think for the Clippers as well. Clippers,
yeah, I don't want to open an old wound, but is that like still one of the more baffling trades in your time as a Lakers fan?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it just they didn't make sense at the time, right?
Yeah, they felt like they weren't going to be able to pay him that summer or something. There was no justification. I mean, it made no sense.
Yeah, that one was odd.
It made no sense.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we get to play the breaking news drop. So that's a win.
So there's that. We got a super chat here. So do you think Scottie Pippen Jr. is a Monk replacement on the Lakers? No, that's going very, very far. If he hits his absolute ceiling, maybe. But if anything, in terms of role, a healthy Kendrick Nunn would be the Monk replacement if Monk were to leave. Now, that's not saying they're the same guy or anything. Just he would take over that ish role of sorts.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a long way to go. I like that addition on a two-way. I think that's a really good addition on a two-way. And the Lakers have proven that they've kind of hit on those guys the last couple of years. And if a guy proves he's a little bit better, they're not shy of saying, all right, let's get you off that two-way and onto the regular roster. So I don't have any issue with that at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited to see him in summer league. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed. Yep. No Austin Reeves on the summer league roster.
Oh, he's not playing summer league? He's not. Oh, man. That's a little odd. You figure he could have made the cameo, right? And played a couple games.
But he probably may have had some people telling him, no. You need to come train over here this summer, not go there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You can think about who may have been saying those things.
Yeah, no problem with that one either, right? He's for a second-year player, he's established himself enough that he doesn't need to play in summer league with a bunch of guys who may not even be on the real roster. So, yeah, why not?
Oscar gave us a $10 super chat. Thank you. Much appreciated.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Okay, let's get back into our news topics for the day. In fact, since we just talked about Clippers with Zubac, let's just jump into it. John Wall. I'm going to go to the Clippers getting bought
Speaking of tampering,
John Wall gets bought out by the Rockets, gives back, what was it, about $7 million, $6.5 million? And he will now sign, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, with the Clippers. He's going to get that taxpayer mid-level, which is connecting the dots, part of why they're probably going to lose Hartenstein. They're not going to have that money to pay to him, but they do pick up John Wall. What do you think about the landing spot and then sacrificing Hartenstein in order to get Wall? Do you like that dynamic, that move?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, no, I don't like that second part, the Hartenstein for Wall part. That one I don't feel very good about. I think Hartenstein is pretty good, and I think he's going to show it wherever he goes next. I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of next season he's somebody starting five. I think he's pretty good. He's got developing range on his jump shot. He's a good finisher. He's a really good defender in and around the basket area. I can actually move his feet a little bit on the perimeter. Now, it sounds like Michael Scotto of Hoopsite reported a little bit earlier today that maybe the Clippers are looking at taking in Nerlens Noel via their their Serge Ibaka trade exception. So they do that. You've replaced him and you got yourself a point guard. And they needed another point guard. There are other point guards behind Reggie Jackson are younger guys. So let's see what John Wall has left. He looked okay. He didn't shoot it great, but he looked okay with Houston the last time we saw him play. So,
which was 6 years ago, I think.
Yeah, it feels that way, right?
No, it was a little over a year ago.
84 years, isn't that?
Yeah, that's right.
Let's see. I do think he has a chance to. Wouldn't that make her like 100 something years old then? Right? Because she had to be at least 18, right? I'm getting way off topic. I was just thinking about that.
Are you breaking down plot holes in Titanic?
It might be, yeah. A 30-year-old movie. Yeah, close to that, 35. That's got to be close to 35 years old, right?
Okay, just to make connections, that gem that she wore was actually the time stone. That's the way that worked.
All right. I like it. I do remember them going back to finding her on the boat before she whipped it in the water. Spoilers. I just ruined the end of Titanic for everybody who hasn't seen it yet. Sorry. Sorry you missed it.
The boat sank. Oh my God. Spoiler alert.
Most of them died. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
We were on John Wall. How long it's been since he's played.
How long it's been since he played. I think he's, I get it. By all accounts, though, he was staying in pretty good shape. He looked like he was ready to play. There's a lot of stuff out of Houston about him working out with the team. They just didn't want to play him in games because they wanted to play their kids. So I don't have I here's the thing. I think if people go in expecting John Wall, all-star level guy, then you're going to be disappointed. If you go in expecting John Wall, pretty good backup point guard, you're probably going to be okay with what it is. And reality is they're paying him $6 million. So why not? I would have rather given that $6 million Isaiah Hartenstein and seen if Wall would have taken the veteran minimum. But in that case, we know he had other suitors. The Heat were interested. The Lakers are interested. Washington, it sounds like, had some level of interest in bringing him home. So I think, pay for it and see. And would it shock you if, by midseason, if he was their starting point guard over Reggie Jackson?
No,
right? Yeah. So it's fine. I mean, I don't know if this swings the title by any means, but it's fine. I don't have any issue with this signing.
Speaking of Hartenstein, Sonny gives super chat, said Monk or Hartenstein for the mid level. Would you?
Oh, if you were the Lakers?
Yeah.
Hartenstein. Yeah. I think
a bigger need.
Yeah,
I like Monk, and you know, you've got that connection of, you know, he kind of, his back was against the wall that he fought last season, and now he's got himself this opportunity. So there's that, you know, emotional connection. So it feels bad to say, oh, yeah, I would pass on Monk, but the skill set Hartenstein brings is probably a little more important.
Yeah, right, I agree. Ravon also, I don't know if you saw that one. Says thanks for the great content. So thank you for that compliment. And any idea what's up with the Raptors and OG? I don't think anything. I think that was all coming from other places. I don't get the real sense that they want to move him. Maybe he is a little unhappy because there is a lot of overlap and duplication on that roster between him and Siakam and Barnes and Gary Trent to some extent. But I think it's one of those things where they'll just make it all work. I don't think they're going to necessarily move on from him. And if they do, it's going to be in a bigger trade than any kind of, you know, just moving him on. They will figure out something much bigger to do with him to really fill a need and move that franchise forward.
Yeah, it's not going to be just a, well, we need to get something, so off you go, that type of situation. Nope,
definitely not.
All right, let's talk Utah.
Yeah.
They've got a head coach and a guy you know, and I'm just going to throw it to you here. You know him better than I certainly would.
Sure.
Former Celtics assistant. Shocker, Danny Ainge goes to a Celtics assistant, right? But
well, they didn't overlap, though. He wasn't there when Danny Ainge was there. But yeah, shocker, I guess. That's still fair. Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on this? Do you like the hire for the Jazz? And what does he bring?
I do like it. He's young. He's only 34. So, Trevor, we're now older than most of the coaches.
Oh, my gosh, I'm old. Right? Oh, my gosh.
We're starting to climb the ladder. It's one thing when you look and it's like, okay, this dude was born after I graduated high school and he's coming into the NBA. That's one thing. When the coaches are 15 years younger than us, it's starting to be like, oh man, what's happening? But anyway, he's young. The one of the things that I know he gets a lot of credit for, because he is younger, he really relates to the players pretty well. He worked his way up through the video room with the Spurs, and eventually from the video room onto the coaching staff. There was a point where he was one of many over the 20 plus years to be mentioned as Pop's eventual successor. But much like Ime Udoka and a handful of others, I think it was, hey, go get some experience somewhere else, and then, you know, maybe your head coaching job will come somewhere else. It also kind of tells me Pop's just not ready to go anywhere yet. We talked about that the other day too. I think he's known as a pretty good offensive coach with good, you know, thoughts there. He's a guy who does a lot of studying. He's very well prepared. I think in a lot of ways there's similarities in the path of Quinn Snyder to some extent, where he's worked for Pop, then worked elsewhere, and then came in as a head coach. But he's not exactly the same kind of guy as Snyder, but I think the Jazz got a good coach here. And I think going with a younger coach, some might say, does that mean they're looking to rebuild? I don't think so. I think this is, let's just get a whole new fresh set of voices here. We're going to talk about front office too, to some extent. And let's really try to make this work with the, not necessarily all of the guys they have, but the base. So Mitchell, Gobert, probably a couple of the other guys. Let's see if we can make this work. And then if not, we'll reset next summer or the trade deadline or something like that.
He's younger than some of his players, right?
He's definitely going to be younger than Mike Conley, I would imagine.
Right, than Mike Conley.
Let's pull it up. Let's see. I bet you're right, though. He's got to be younger than Mike Conley.
Let's see.
Mike Conley is also 34. He'll be 35, though, at the beginning of October. I don't know when Will Hardy's birthday is. He's probably the only one. Yeah. Because everybody else. But, I mean, yeah, definitely.
He's right there. He's
close with Bogdanovich. He's 33. So, interesting. But yeah. Rudy Gay. He's younger than Rudy Gay, too.
Rudy Gay. I was going to say, yeah, that's got to be.
I forgot Rudy Gay was not even on the roster for.
He popped in my head. And I went, wait, is he still there? Or, I mean, I guess maybe he won't be next season. We'll see. We'll
find out in a couple weeks or a couple days, maybe.
So the Jazz were not done making moves, though. David Fizdale joins their front office, obviously leaving the coaching ranks, was an assistant with the Lakers, now moving to Utah's front office. Obviously, the Lakers, to a degree, cleaned house when Frank Vogel went out. Sure. Phil Handy stuck around. But what do you think? Fizdale in the front office now instead of on the sidelines?
Yeah, my guess is for David Fizdale, this is probably a little bit of a, all right, I've been an assistant for a very long time. I had a couple runs at head coaching jobs, and then I've been in the interview process a couple more times. Hasn't happened. Maybe I'll try something different and see, with knowing he can always get back in on the coaching side somewhere if he wants to. So why not go round out your experience a little bit more? That maybe if he decides he wants to coach, that's a little bit more attractive because, all right, hey, you understand the front office side now. We've seen several guys over the last, let's say 10 years, make this transition from coaching to front office when they make it solely, right? They move fully over, really succeed with that. So I think this is not necessarily a bad thing. And it's, again, I think Danny Ainge is kind of saying it's a new era here in Utah. We're trying to really open things up, look at things with a new, fresh set of eyes, bring in a bunch of different people. And we're going to rebuild this thing the way we want to rebuild it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's I think this is just the beginning too. I have a hard time imagining the Jazz going through the offseason without some significant personnel moves coming.
I don't think it's going to be Mitchell or Gobert, though. But I think everything else is definitely on the table. I can't see them trading Mitchell. That just seems crazy. And then Gobert, it's hard to move him, which sounds weird. I just had this conversation where I think we've gone collectively way too far on Rudy Gobert. Like, there's now this thought of like, this guy sucks and he's the worst contract in the league. And it's like, the dude almost won Defensive Player of the Year again. He was an all-star again. And it's like, we can't go that far. Like, this is getting a little crazy.
Yeah, agreed. It's the years on the contract, I think, that's scaring people.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no,
if he had 3 years under contract instead of four, mm-hmm. I think the market for him would be more robust, or even two, right? Two and a team option on a third would be ideal. I think it's the extra years on the contract that's causing people to pause at, going all out after Gobert.
Mike Wolf is asking in the chat, when are things really going to start heating up in free agency? Cause it's been quiet. Nothing really starts until June 30th at 6 p.m. So
Eastern
we're in kind of a, 6 p.m. Eastern, correct. We're in a little bit some of a quiet.
Stuff will come out.
Yeah.
Some little things here and there.
Yeah.
But the main, like the dam bursting, that's Thursday.
Yep. Well, I guess we're doing all this reporting on Brunson and, Zubac is different because that's an extension, but Brunson and John Wall and all that, it wouldn't surprise me if we're right there at 6:01. We're getting big deals from Woj. Thought maybe we'd hold off a bit on that, but I don't think we're going to.
It's not. Eagles gang said, I really want to see Russ in a Hornets jersey.
I'm guessing Eagles gang is a Lakers fan.
He's a Lakers fan, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I don't think he's a Hornets fan. So
there were so many, I don't want to spend too much time on Russ here because I'm going to talk about that plenty tonight for Lakers Nation. But so many Lakers fans were just infuriated that he posted himself singing the song this morning and all that kind of stuff. And people are just like, oh, my, get this guy off of this team, make him go somewhere else, anywhere else. I think it's gotten to a point kind of like with Gobert where people are like overstating valuable or not valuable his contract is. I still think Russell Westbrook is a talented basketball player. The problem is the contract is bleeding into our evaluation of him as a player. And then, frankly, as a player, he's had a lot of issues too. So those two things kind of compound. And next thing you know, you've got this idea out here that he's the worst player ever, which on the court, not necessarily the case, but in any event, that's where we're at.
And, we just talked about it with John Wall, right? If you're expecting John Wall, all-star, $40 million player, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to hate the contract.
Yep.
John Wall, $6 million player, it's probably fine. If Russ was making $10 million, I think everybody would be like, all right, $10 million, that's $10 million worth of value. It's the problem is he's making $47 million, and that's not the value you're getting. So I get it. I guess I think this probably eventually heads to – there won't be a trade. Now that I've said that, in the next 20 minutes, there probably will be, or 5 minutes after we're done recording is more likely how it'll go. But I think my guess is this goes with either Darvin Ham figures it out and makes it work at least enough, or it turns into, all right, you got to, what will you give back in a buyout and we're all going to go our separate ways and move on.
Right. Okay. I mean, I've got some fans that are saying that the moment the announcement came out, they said the 2022-2023 season just ended.
Yeah, that's going too far.
Yeah. But yeah. But I understand, like, it is, if you've got one guy that's producing at a $6 million level and he's getting 47, that's hard to build out a roster, right?
Yep.
And actually put something together that works. So mm-hmm.
Hey, I want to answer a question from the chat. I think it's a good one from David Rodriguez. There's been a huge influx of sign and trade offers over the last few years. What changed to make them more of an option? The big thing with that is more teams are over the cap now. And if you're over the cap, if you want to make those things happen, you need to do sign and trades. That's one of the ways to move players when you don't have cap space is through sign and trades. So that's where it is. We had gone through a period where every summer there was 10, 11, 12 teams with cap space. So we weren't seeing as many of these sign and trades. So now when the league's capped out, we go back to sign and trades. When the league's not capped out, they tend to go away again because you just can sign guys outright.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, that's what happens. And I mean, the hard cap is a complication with the sign and trade, but
you can still
pull it off in the right scenario. Oh, here's a good one. So,
I love it.
When paying salary clears, is it extra cap space? No, because they're already over the cap. So, right. Doesn't mean they would suddenly
tax
have five
room, though. To go.
What's that?
Tax room, though. Does create a little tax room.
Tax room. When is it? Because I've got it set an alarm on my phone, midnight, July 1st.
Yep.
That's when it officially comes off the books. Is that official, like that's the moment the NBA recognizes that money is off the books?
Yep, the league year changes over right at midnight on July 1st. Now, they open the negotiating period at 6 p.m. Eastern on the 30th, but the league year changes over on July 1st. And I'm looking at my sheet right now. You can't see it, but under former player owed salary for the Lakers, because I've already flipped to next year, there's a big blank space, and it's beautiful.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. All right.
We could bring up the Titanic lady again and say it's been 84 years, but tune in August for Keith and Trevor's Titanic breakdown.
We'll have to do that. Film. Yeah. Titanic and Marvel connections.
Yep. We'll figure it out.
All right. Well, I think that does it for today.
Oh, we wanted to hit on a couple of the options, the qualifying.
Oh, offers. That's right. I forgot about that.
No,
I forgot about that one. I forgot to put it in my headers. That's why.
No, it's all good. I'll fly through them. DeAndre Ayton and Miles Bridges both got qualifying offers that makes them restricted free agents. This does not mean they're back for certain with the Suns or the Hornets. This just allows them to control the process. They weren't going to let those guys get to unrestricted free agency and risk losing either of them for nothing. And then the Pistons, it seems like it's a bit of a surprise that they gave a qualifying offer to Marvin Bagley, which puts a massive $20+ million cap hold on their books. But why they're doing it is it's just a procedural thing. And what you'll see happen with Bagley is at least until they come to an agreement with him on a new deal, they control the process again for him as a free agent because he's restricted this way. And what you'll see happen is we'll probably get pretty early on in the first day or two of free agency that they've agreed to 3 years, $30 million, 3 years, $20 million, whatever the number is. And then what they'll do is then they'll turn around once they've got that agreement, they'll renounce Bagley's rights to open up all that $40 million or so in cap space. And then they'll have him re-signed after that as either out of their cap space or maybe out of the room exception. We'll see. Depends on how much money he gets. We'll know when that total figure is reported.
Yeah, important to remember that a qualifying offer, unless a player surprisingly says, hey, I'll take it, and signs the qualifying offer, you can actually rescind a qualifying offer too if you suddenly find yourself in a spot where you need that room.
Yeah, and teams have gotten really smart about not giving qualifying offers to players who would likely just sign them because it's better than what they might get. For example, we usually see these things done in batches. Teams usually say, all right, we gave qualifying offers to these three players that were eligible and they go. The Suns, they gave DeAndre Ayton, so they haven't announced it. It's hit or miss whether teams announce it or not. But they have not given one to Aaron Holiday, for example. And I think it's because Aaron Holiday would just sign his qualifying offer and then be on under contract for 1 year. And that's all the qualifying offer is. It's a one-year contract at a set amount. Player signs it, and then the following year, in most cases, they become an unrestricted free agent. It's pretty rare that it happens, usually maybe one a year or so. If they do sign it, they get the right to block trades because it comes with an implied no trade clause because you're playing under a one-year contract with bird rights, which you would lose if you're traded. But those pretty rarely come up that way.
It's having the teams do something, prove that they are interested to some degree in hanging on to the player in order for the player to qualify as restricted.
Yep.
Super chat from Juan says, the day Kyrie picked up an option, a friend of a friend allegedly saw Kyrie and LeBron driving together on the freeway. We were so close. What was it? What is it from Ferris Bueller? My friend's cousin's sister's boyfriend's going with this guy who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night or something like
that. It's close. That's close enough. That was well done. Yeah.
And that reference just flew over a lot of our audience.
Yeah. I'll use a more timely one. Were they driving next to each other and then the highway split and they went off like at the end of Fast and Furious?
Oh,
yeah. Is that how it was? He's like, it's been a long day without you, my friend. And they moved along.
That one's maybe much more sad.
Yeah, well, I mean, bring us down at the end.
Yeah.
At least people get it. Ferris Bueller, though, check it out. If you're on the younger end, watch Ferris Bueller. That's good.
Absolutely. My all-time favorite movie, actually, is Ferris
really?
Bueller. Ironic for somebody who was a teacher for so long that my favorite movie is about a kid skipping school. But that was top of my list.
That is a great movie. That's a good one. Yeah.
Very quotable.
Yeah.
Very quotable. No doubt. All right, everybody. Appreciate you joined us live. If you're watching this on the NBA Front Office YouTube channel, make sure you do subscribe. Don't forget to turn on those notifications. If you're listening to the podcast version of this, again, make sure you follow us over on Apple Podcasts. Give us that 5-star rating and review. Free agency just a couple days away. Going to be a lot of fun. We'll have our live wrap-ups. We'll be discussing everything as it goes down. Till then, everybody. See ya and stay safe.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.